Well, thank you very much, everyone. Thank you. It's a pleasure, actually, to be here today. I was on the first edition of these awards. I was named Innovator of the Year back in 2011. My mother keeps telling me it was because there were too many, many less candidates than today, so I'm quite honored to be part of the first batch of innovators, not of this batch. I would definitely not even go through the first cut on this batch, so I'm happy to be one of the first. I would like to talk today about innovation, but specifically, I would love to talk about why being fast is really important when we talk about innovation. Because let's face it, we are today a group of young people who are trying to move away their companies, which are usually small companies. So let me ask myself, what happens in the world while we are trying to raise our organizations, companies, and NGOs? Well, the world moves quite fast. There is one statistic which blows my mind every time I go through it, which is every second there are 4 babies born. I don't know if you find this interesting or not, but I do. I mean, every single second there are 4 new people coming to the Earth. So I wonder how many smartphones, how many mobile phones are activated every single second. And just if we count only iPhones and Android devices. Someone could say, like 4. Like every new baby coming, we are already buying him a smartphone. Somehow this will happen a few years from now. But not. It's not 4. So someone could say 3, 2, or 1. Well, every second in the world, there are 4 new babies coming and 45 new smartphones getting activated. And that if we only count iPhone and Android. Do you know how many they are if we even add BlackBerry to the sun? 45. That's the thing. And you all would say, okay, but why? Well, BlackBerry is dead. But check, you all 5 years ago wanted or had a BlackBerry. But 10 years ago, the best dream was to have a Nokia phone. And 15 years ago, that was a Motorola startup. Well, Motorola, Nokia, and actually BlackBerry are either dead or acquired just for the patents and then sold off. But today you cannot buy a smartphone branded by Nokia, BlackBerry, well, so far, yeah, but probably we are talking a month thing, and Motorola, because they were sold or acquired because of the patents. And that's important because those 3 companies were the most innovative companies in the world in their markets for at least 1 year. All of those 3 companies had more than 50% share of the market on the CEO and C-level executive side. And all the 3 companies are currently almost dead. And that's really important because when we check how startups innovate and how big corporations like those one innovate, we usually tend to think that startups have nothing to do in the markets dominated by big companies. Well, let me talk about how do I feel startups compared to big corporations. I would like to raise something which I feel is important to me, which is called the TTT. TTP is what we call a time to Tom, which is how far are you from seeing your company dying because everything you are doing goes bad. If we compare TTT from startups to corporations, startup will typically die in 1 to 2 months if everything goes bad, while a big corporation will last from 10 to 20 years if everything stops working. However, this has a big impact on the TTP, which is the time to prototype. How long does it take you to move from an idea to a real project if you are a startup or a big corporation? Well, if you are a startup, you'll be doing a new prototype from 1 to 2 weeks without sleeping, because you know from 1 to 2 months you'll be dying if you don't do that. If you're a big company, well, I mean, you have a lot of time. Who needs to hurry if we have at least 10 years before we'll be that? So eventually, there is not the best combination because there are no big corporations innovating like startups. We would love to see that, but that's not happening. So we need to choose. I think that we, as the startup community, the youngsters trying to innovate, need to focus on ideas. However, if we really want to beat how big corporations innovate, we should also think about why being patient is so important. I would like to make a quick stop on ideas and patience and try to defend why the receipt of innovation success is based on ideas plus patience. If we talk about ideas, I'm wondering what an idea is today, how companies generate ideas, companies from any size. Well, I believe ideas are just answers to questions, but ideas are answers to the right questions. And what's the right question? That's a giant question that no one knows the answer of. However, there are ways to find right answers to right questions. One of them is, for example, looking at the future. Let me show you an example. Let's imagine we are, all of us, 10 years from now, inside a car which is being driven autonomously. This has been long talked now, a couple of years, this has been an active debate. But let's ask ourselves, what will happen if we are in a car which is getting driven itself? There is no way of controlling manually the car, so you are just a passenger inside the car. And the car detects, let's say, four beautiful children in the middle of a giant bridge. So eventually the car needs to take the decision. Either, there are only two options. The car tries to brake, but the car from the real first second knows there is no technical way to brake because the car is full of sensors. The car knows the temperature on the air, the road, each one of the four brake systems independently, etc., the speed. Now, the car knows everything, and the sensors do not lie, except if they are Volkswagen. You know, Volkswagen sensors sometimes lie, but let's assume that that's not a Volkswagen. So sensors do not lie, and car knows there is no way to stop himself at least 300 meters after the four beautiful children. So the car needs to take one of two options. First option is, I just try to brake, I go over the kids, I just brake after them, just activate the cleaning thing. That's all. Second option is, I violently change my wheel's direction to the right, I brake the bridge, I fall, I kill the driver, I save the kids. I will not ask you what will happen, because no one knows. I would like to ask you, if you were the innovation director of a car company, and I'm a developer, and I'm programming the car, I come to you, and I tell you, hello, bosses, I'm programming the car, what should the car do? I give you two options. Option one is, what the hell? We are killing everyone except our clients. So the people paying 40,000 euros for our product is inside the car. So I'm killing the four kids and the Pope and the president of the country. I, no matter what, I'm killing everyone, saving my client. That's option one. That's fine. No judging. Actually, I checked with legal department. You are covered. Any decision you take, no one is going to jail. Second option is, we are doing the less damage possible. So we are calculating the years outside and inside the car. This is, let's assume four kids, 5-year-old. Let's assume they will live up to 95-year-old in average. So that means 90 years ahead for each child. That means 360 years outside the car. Inside the car, let's assume one 55-year-old man, not really sporty, like high level of cholesterol, not really even loyal to his wife. He's been cheating her. The car knows because the car has been driving him to see the... So he has, let's say, 30 years in advance, one if the wife discovers, so let's say 15. Anyway, the car chooses you. Second option is to choose the less damage possible. So you calculate where you will affect less human life, and you take the decision. Can you raise your hand if you would like to kill anyone except your client, so you are actually not caring about anyone, just about your client? That's fine. No one? Yeah, two of you, actually. That's good. So apart from those two killers without any kind... No, just kidding. Can you raise a hand if you choose the less damage option, please? Depends if you're driving, but still, you are the less... Okay, that's fine. Let's assume almost all of us chose the less damage option. That's fine. Now let me ask you something else. Now you are not the innovation manager. You are a client, and you want to buy a new car 10 years from now. And I give you two options. Option one, those killers... companies which are offering you a car that will always save you. They say, come on, I'm saving you, you are my client, I'm killing everyone, the four kids, the Pope and the president, but I'm saving you. The other option, it's founded by 98% of you. And the other one is telling you, come on, my car is better. I may have to kill you. But that's fine. I mean, when you see approaching the rocks, you can die feeling good because you just saved four kids. But before you choose, let me tell you something. You didn't choose to kill just yourself. You chose the less damage possible, which means if you are not alone in your car, but you are not driving, but in your car, and next to you there is a baby, your son, and in the back part there is your little 8-year-old daughter, and in the other side, your spouse. Still, in the car there are 200 years alive, outside the car there are 350. It means you are choosing to kill your whole family to save another family. Let me ask you something. Any one of you would choose a car that could kill your whole own family to save anyone else? Not really? Any one of you would choose a car that will always save your family independently on who's outside? Yeah. So that's innovation. Because as innovation directors, you chose a decision that would move your company to bankruptcy, except two killers. But as clients, you chose the other company. And that's really important, because when we talk on innovation, we should not only think on patient, but always we should be thinking on what will my client choose. And that's really important, because a lot of times we take decisions thinking on ourselves, not on what our clients are choosing. Then, why passion? Well, passion is a cure for failure. And everyone will fail. I failed a lot. After receiving this award, I was like 10 times this close to bankruptcy. I kept thinking, well, I mean, I have that award, so I'm fine. That was not fine. I mean, I was crying every single night alone. And that was happening. But still, I kept trying and trying and trying. And I think patience is the second necessary ingredient, because it's curing us for potential failure. But still, there is the second most important thing that patience helps us, which is the need of change. Let me ask you one final question. If I offer you to choose being, let's say, a koala, you know, koalas, that would be beautiful animals, or a rat, you know, rat, that ugly animals, and you need to choose, any one of you would choose to be a rat? Okay, I tricked you on the other question, so you are this guy. Okay, let's say 5%. Any one of you would choose to be a koala before a rat? Yeah, most of you. Let me tell you something. This is how the world works. If you have a koala and you change 1% the pH of the water the koala is drinking, he dies. You move the koala to a different environment, 50% chances, he dies. You actually go behind the koala and you make, 10% chances, he dies because of a heart attack. So this little change, koala dies. Then you have rats. Rats live everywhere. Rats are in the beautiful buildings, on the ugly buildings. Rats can resist an earthquake. Rats can live in boats. Rats can live in football stadiums. There are rats in Santiago Bernabeu. They sometimes even play football, but just sometimes. So let's say rats are everywhere and they survive change. So let me ask you, do you really want to be a koala? Because sometimes being the beautiful animal means we die at the first change. But innovating means being rats. Because innovating means being available to change anytime. And I invite you to be rats and to think on your clients, so we'll reduce the amount of failure projects. Thank you very much.